When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, a Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Dr. Tim Clinton.
Our special guest today is Dr. Kathy Cook. She's the founder of Celebrate Kids. She's influenced thousands of parents, teachers, and children through keynote messages, seminars, books, devotionals, and other events. She speaks regularly at CareNet, Summit Ministries, Colson Center, and Teach Them Diligently. She also has a series of podcasts she produces and is the author of 7 books published by Moody Publishers. Dr. Kathy earned her PhD in reading and educational psychology from Purdue University and served as an associate professor, school board member, teacher, and coach, all before founding her ministry. Her faith and desire to serve and glorify God is the foundation of her ministry. Kathy, what a delight to have you. Our topic today, parent differently, raising kids with biblical character that changes culture. I love that. Thank you for joining us.
I'm honored to be here. Thanks for the invitation. I'm really glad the timing worked out. I'm in Manitou Springs, Colorado. And Tim, I've been so encouraged. You know, way too many people say that this younger generation doesn't care, but I've got 17 to 21-year-olds, and they are so sold out for Jesus, and they want more of God, and I couldn't be more thrilled. And so I'm really glad that this worked out to come on with you, even though I'm here in Colorado.
Kathy, I'm so glad you opened up with that, because a lot of people are worried about today's generations. They're worried about losing their kids. They're worried about that college age in particular when they pack up and go to school, that they have a tendency to walk away from their faith. I, too, like you, agree. I think this generation, there's something going on. God's stirring in a mighty way. Kathy, let's go back to the book of Proverbs for a moment. Proverbs 22, verse 6, we know that verse well. Train up a child in the way he or she should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. Kathy, I always learned that there were two primary ways to interpret that verse. One was train them up in the way they should go, meaning to follow after the ways of God. So we train them spiritually. Others have added this piece, and that means according to their natural bent. Mm-hmm. In other words, tailored to their uniqueness, the way they learn, maybe their personality, their temperament, and more. Kathy, I like a both-and piece there.
Yes.
That there's something about this world of what's called parenting. It's pretty significant. It's, as Dr. Dobson would say, it's not for cowards.
Yes.
It's something that mom and dad and everybody listening, they know. Boy, do they know. But Kathy, reflect on this influence and the significance, especially in light of the work that God's led you to do.
Well, what I want to say is you just used a really key word in your description of Proverbs 22:6, the word train, train up. You know, Dr. Kathy, they tell me what to do and they expect me to do it and they yell at me if I don't. And I get that. We need to train and teach and explain and demonstrate and model and expect goodness from them and correct when we don't get it, affirm when we get it, and let them know that we're on their team and on their side. And when we do that, then they're going to walk toward us. They're going to listen to our instruction. They're going to ask us, what do you think about God? What about the theology of suffering, Daddy? We don't want them to go to Google. We don't want them to ask Siri. We don't want them to, you know, listen to a lyric on a song and assume that that is correct. We have to be invested, and they want us to be invested.
Kathy, you have a new book out called Parent Differently, Raise Kids with Biblical Character That Changes Culture. Love that title. Some good friends, David and Jason Benham, endorsed and wrote the foreword to the book. But Kathy, it's pretty tough parenting in this world. Let's give mom and dad a break here for a moment. It's not like it was when we grew up.
No.
I think what these kids are going through, what they've been through, by the way, you go back to COVID and what happened there. You come into this modern day insanity we have. And you wrote that book, Screens and Teens. The online world is brutal. But Kathy, what's in your spirit about what's unique about the challenges of parenting or for parents today?
The first thing I'm going to say people might not like, but hopefully they'll keep listening to the show. And that is that parents are so busy and choosing sometimes to be busy, choosing to be on their phones, which makes it difficult for children to come to them and say, Mom, I'm confused about this. So I respect the busyness. I understand a lot of what's going on here. However, we are a family unit. The family unit matters greatly. God ordained it before the church. We need to take it seriously. We need to be all in and stay home and rest and be quiet and hang out with our kids. And Tim, to not be fearful. We parent from love, I would pray. Fear is not of the Lord. I understand it. The culture's chaotic, right? You know that. Culture's chaotic. People are messy. These are really challenging days. And yet there's a lot of kids and a lot of young adults doing it really, really well. So I don't want parents to be panicked and expecting negative things. We've got to be intentional and invested in character. Thanks for endorsing the book. Character counts. To stress character, not obedience. You know, the book would sell more copies if I probably called it Raising Children Obedient the First Time, you know. But Tim, you know from your ministry that we have to care about the heart and invite the Holy Spirit to transform as we help the children to do that. And character goes with you everywhere you are. Obedience is rule following. Obedience changes when the rules change. We could go on and on about that. But I want parents to know that they can make a difference with their kids. And they can, absolutely, I could say that every day, they can make a difference with their kids. I know you have. Look back. Look at the benefits that you've already placed upon your kids and believe you can do it again.
Kathy, let's go into that concept of character. Teaching character sounds exhausting. You know that?
Yeah.
Versus, hey, don't do that. But tell us what you mean by character and why you think it really is a different perspective than a lot of what you see in homes today.
Yeah, I would love to. So character marks us. Character comes from Greek and Latin origins, and it means to engrave. So imagine that you have such an influence upon your children that you've engraved wisdom upon their heart, and they're marked by the reputation of character, not a reputation of beauty or popularity or even good grades. And Tim, in every disobedient action, you can find negative character. So instead of saying, stop arguing, would you just stop arguing? What if we thought it through? This means we have to slow down. What if we realize that that's a lack of submission? It's a lack of flexibility. It's almost always self-centered and selfish. And so what if we talked about the character qualities that make arguing easy and obedience difficult, and then watch that transform the heart? And now, Tim, wherever they go, whoever they're with, they're going to go, wait, submit, be flexible, be other-centered. I can do this. And arguing will begin to decrease. And we could use impatience and a lack of kindness and so many other things as well. So when we teach character, we go with them wherever they go. Rule following, it's not a transformation of the heart. And you and I both know that it's the heart where heart's the wellspring of life. That's where the character resides. We've got to do, we can do this better. Does that make sense?
It does, Kathy. When I think of a lot of parents and their families that I've seen through the years, people get a little fuzzy here trying to understand exactly what we're talking about, because they have ideas of what they hope their kids will be. So, for example, they want them to get good grades in school. They want them to be a really good athlete. They want them to have success in life versus, like, being loving and kind, forgiving, like you said, tender-hearted and more. And so help us kind of shape this for a moment. I know you talked about in the book, I think you had like 48 key character qualities and more, and it's like, wow, okay. But I think a coach tries to do this. They try to teach character in their kids, you know, that they're predictable, that sure. They're going to show up on time. They're going that if they feel like they can do that, then they're going to put that kid in the game. Get what I'm saying?
Right.
So dial us in a little bit and take us into biblical character, because I know that's your heart.
Yeah, I would love to. So what if we suggested, Tim, that when we teach character and model it and expect it, we get kids who earn better grades? We have kids who make the team. We have children who do better on the piano. We have children who are hired for their first job. So character can affect the entirety of a child's life. And so this is the investment that is worth it. And I wrote the book about character because I want parents to teach and not yell and tell. I want children to discover who they can be. You know, Tim, you know that when God creates every person, he has a vision for their lives. And so when we have character, we establish that vision, right? When God created you, he had Ephesians 2:10, gifts that he placed within you. He had the dreams and desires, and he wanted you to become this God-honoring person. And when you have biblical character, you can do that. So I want kids to discover who they are. I want them to rejoice in being right. It feels good to be right. It's right to be right. And that heart, there's less depression. There's less ideology for suicide and all those kinds of things. Biblical character, Old Testament and New Testament truth, Proverbs, of course, in the Old Testament. So it's more than Christ-like character. Yes, it's becoming like Jesus, but it's also using examples like Esther and Daniel and David and Naomi and Deborah and Moses and Peter and Paul and so many other people that we can say to our children, be like Mary, the mother of Jesus, who was so obedient and so ready and available, even though she was young and inexperienced. We have the fruit of the Spirit, the definition of love, the Micah 6:8, there's just so much there that we can take into this discussion with our kiddos. And they're going to want it because children want to be obedient. They don't like to be whiny little brats. I know that. They want to be well, and they want to establish themselves, and we can help them with that.
Kathy, as I looked in the book, you talked about moral qualities, ethical standards, principles. In other words, those reputational pieces of what we hope will define our children. I love this. You said inner governance.
Yes.
That there was this internal, if you will, peace to them that guided them to make good choices or decisions. And it was out of the overflow of the heart, really, kind of thing that, that made a difference here.
It is. And that comes out of self-respect. So you're correct. There's 48 qualities. There's a baker's dozen top 13 that I think we really need to emphasize so people don't need to panic, like 48, I could never do that. And actually you can do it because they're all connected. But when we have self-respect and we believe that we were created in the image of God for his good and his glory, we will want to become who we can be. And that includes this idea that, oh, I can't do that. My daddy wouldn't want me to do that. We have family values, Tim. There's a family inner governance that in our family, we are generous and kind and other-centered and grateful and joyful. And that's why I want my kids to be known to be, as an example. So inner governance, what will I be? What will I do even when mommy and daddy aren't watching? See, Tim, I want kids to have good character because it's good to have good biblical character.
Yes.
Even when the burden is heavy. So I might do something that gets me teased by my peer group. I might not gossip and everyone else does. I might rescue a kid getting bullied because that's the right thing to do, even if the burden is heavy and I might get bullied next. But it's not about that. It's about who am I? And who have mom and dad raised me to be? And who does Jesus say I am? And he says I'm capable of this. So inner governance, to be and to do what is right. And that is passed on through family values and through the instruction of the word and from a mom and a dad who really invested in their kiddos.
Some listening right now, Kathy, would say, hey, appreciate the conversation. You have no idea what it's like in my home. We're talking about whining, talking back, you know, spitting raspberries at you to throwing temper tantrum. It's just like we want to close the door and not let anybody see what's happening behind our closed door. Kathy, You put some really great news in here. I just wrote down, here's the good news. You can teach your kids to learn and develop character. You can. You talked about a what to do, to want to do it, and to be willing to do it. Kathy, I think that's a big statement for everyone right now.
I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, do we and do our children know what to do? Do we want to do it? Are we willing to do it even when the burden is heavy? So have we taught our children, and have we explained gratitude and joy? And, you know, why are we brave? Why are we resilient? What do these qualities do for us? Did you remember there was a test? Did you pay attention in class? Did you choose to study? It's always a choice, right, Tim? Everything starts with choice. Did you choose to study? Did you humble yourself and ask me to help you when you were confused when you were studying last night? So how much of it is you? We've got to help our kids understand, Tim, that this is on you. You do your part, we do our part. And I don't say that lightly. Some parents, when they hear me speak or they read the book, they'll say, man, I got to back up and I got to start with an apology. And, you know, it's okay to say, especially the guinea pig kid, right? Especially the oldest kid, you know, to say, hey, you know, your mom and I, you know, we're discovering some things that we could have done better and we're going to start over. We really want to invite you to give us another chance to listen longer. We love and respect you so deeply and we want you to become who God desires for you to be. And it's going to require that we do a better job and that we're more consistent and more available to you. Would you try again? I think that conversation is rich and deep. And the children I'm talking to, the families that I work with, are saying, yeah, it's doable. It's humble, right? You got to be humble. And Tim, one more thing before I kick it back to you. I believe that when parents admit that they've made mistakes, when they weren't patient, when they weren't grateful, when they didn't maybe parent strong, kids respect that. Parents have more authority when they admit their struggles than less authority. Why? Because kids are willing to come to a dad who says, man, I messed up too. If children think parents are perfect and parents can't understand the torment of the culture, they're not going to go to them. They'll go to a friend instead. So it's okay for parents to say, I can get better at this.
Kathy, you know, as you were speaking, I had the words exhausting and empty come into my mind. And what I mean by that is I think a lot of moms and dads out there who aren't doing this, they're exhausted and empty. You hear what I'm saying? Because this does pay out. If you're coming home and everybody's going to their room and you're fighting, it's empty and it's exhausting. Listen, parenting takes effort. It takes significant effort. And there's great reward when kids begin to take this into their heart. There's beauty here. There's so much richness. Hey, you're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, co-host. Our special guest today is Dr. Kathy Cook. She's the founder and president of Celebrate Kids. Kathy is one of the best out there. She speaks everywhere. God's got a hold of her heart, and she's moving the needle when it comes to helping impact today's generations. Kathy, I want to keep pressing in here for a moment. Mom and dads are saying, okay, well, hey, how do we do this thing? How do we do this training in godliness? Remember when Paul said to Timothy, train yourself in godliness. There's an effort here. And what kind of qualities, I guess, Kathy, do we need to press into? And take us to school.
Yeah, I love that. Man, thanks again for letting me do this with you. So gratitude and joy are the first two that I would prioritize. Gratitude is considered a parent virtue. It gives rise to much else. People who are grateful tend to be content and at peace and purposeful in their living, and that changes everything. So not forced thank you notes. It's not what I do, but it's who I am. I will choose to be grateful in times of want, in times of need, and when I have a lot. And then joy, Tim, not circumstantial happiness. One of the devilish works of technology is that it trains us to think that happiness is our right. We can click out of games we might lose. We can multitask. We can have whatever we want when we want it right now. We end up treating God like Amazon Prime because we think that that's our right to just have what we want the way we want it now. And it's killing us, and it's killing a generation. Self-efficacy, a word maybe people haven't heard, simply means to be self-effective. Have we trained our children to be able to do what we've asked them to do? Tim, if you say to a child, go fill the dishwasher, it's your turn, and you haven't trained the kid, he's panicked because he knows if he puts the bowl in the wrong place, you're going to tell him. And if he puts something in the dishwasher that doesn't belong in the dishwasher, you're not going to be happy about that. But when we teach a child, this is why the knives don't go in the dishwasher. When we show them, we can't put the bowl here because it'll block the water from getting to the rest of the dishes. When we love them enough to teach and train them to be well and do well, they're not going to panic when we say, hey, Benjamin, it's your turn to empty the dishwasher. There's less of an argument. There's less of a pushback when they feel competent. So gratitude, joy, self-efficacy are huge. Self-respect, respect for others, self-control. Teach children they're capable of impulse control. Teach children they don't have to say everything that comes out into their mind. How many of us don't say everything that comes into our mind, right? Praise God for that filter. Have we taught that to our children? We can.
Kathy, we're fighting time here. We've got just a few minutes left, but there are core foundational beliefs, and our beliefs influence behavior. We know that, and I saw you highlight that in the book. Our relationship with God, you know, we talked about in our lives first, our relationship with God and the time we spend in His Word, how we learn about Jesus and His own perspective, His own beliefs about children, and how we should raise them up and how important they were to the kingdom of God and more. And as we teach those behaviors, bring us home here, Kathy. Talk to us because, you know, in my years of work with Dr. Dobson, it was always about be there. In other words, the greatest gift that we can give to our kids is a spiritual heritage. And by the way, the only thing we can take with us to heaven are those that we love, have influence in terms of our relationship with God in Christ.
Right. Yes. Oh, my goodness, Tim. Jesus, you know, the learned men said, who among us is the greatest? And Jesus called up a child to have stand next to him. Children were the forgotten generation back in his day, swept behind the rug, if you will, or swept behind mama's skirts, if you will. And I imagine those learned men kind of looking at each other and mumbling, did he hear the question right? He took time for children. He blessed them and touched them. And so we can get better at this, prioritizing them, letting them be seen, letting them know that we care, that we're so grateful that we're a mom of you. I'm so glad you're my child. You could have been somebody else's. God gave you to me. This establishes that hope, right? That they're secure and significant. Those are, if I feel insignificant in my own home, if I don't feel liked and wanted and known in my own home, oh my goodness, that breaks me. And I know there are moms and dads listening to us who don't feel known in their own home. I get this. This is a tragic problem of the busyness, and we're always waiting for someone else's affirmation.
Yes.
But in the home is where it matters. And in the Word, I love that you brought it back to, you know, being in the Word and what does God say about us and what does God want us to do? And more importantly, who does He want us to become? Because everything we do because of who we are, which again is why character changes us.
When I think of parenting, Kathy, one of the verses that always comes to my mind is written by John when he said, I have no greater joy than to know my children walk in the truth. And may that be true of your home today. If you're listening out there and you're on a journey, ask God, look to Him, have Him strengthen your heart, and then model that so that when your kids see you, they see Him and that loving embrace of a Heavenly Father, a tender Father, who is a good, good Father in our lives. What a delight to have Dr. Kathy Cook with us. Her new book, Parent Differently, Raise Kids with Biblical Character That Changes Culture. We'll pray that God would bless you, and thank you for the gift of this book. If people want to learn more about you and your resources, where can they go?
Our website is celebratekids.com, and we would love for people to stop by there. We have several podcasts they can listen to and, of course, books they can purchase. And we are on social media, primarily on Facebook, and we would love for people to follow us there. CelebrateKids.com.
Well, on behalf of our entire team here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, Dr. Cook, what a delightful conversation. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for trusting me. I really appreciate being here.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
If someone in your family has depression or anxiety, it's hard to know what to do. We went through that. I'm Sam. The center is a place of hope. Lives are being healed. God is changing families.
Coming to the center it's just life altering. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family.
Struggling to keep it all together, or no one knows, or you're hiding things, or you feel like you've hit some crisis.
It's amazing to think that there could be so much change.
Man, I'm so grateful for the center. It's so helpful for me, and I'm so hopeful.
The center, a place of hope. Call today. A lot of people are surprised that insurance can help cover this.
Dive in, give yourself all to it. Watch what happens.
Call the Center, a Place of Hope, right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the center. A Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.